Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for this, bus, Hugh? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
You know, set ready.
I'm ready. I'm just a little anxiety. Yeah, I'm not going to
lie. Come on, watch old Bandit run.
Well, to me, the highlight is going to be when I get to Bucky's. Get me some stuff. I'm trying to figure out. I might just have it shipped because I don't getting stuff from Bucky's on the bus. Might not trust everybody on the bus taking my.
You don't trust
contraband.
Our audience. No one's taking your stuff.
Like, because you know what? Let me tell you what's going to happen. This is what I envision. There are going to be some people.
This is family, Hugh.
Yeah, it is, and they're going to be, and you know, just like family goes, somebody's going to go to Bucky's, and they're not going to know what Bucky's is, so they're going to have their arms full. I'm not fooling with it, and then they're going to see us enjoying the beaver nuggets and all the beef jerky and all the other good stuff.
We'll just share. No big deal.
Ain't nobody sharing.
All right, I'll share, everyone. No worries here.
I'm not a sharer.
That's right. But you're going to have to check your ego at the door for this trip. I'm just going to tell you.
He's bound it down, Joe.
We're loading
you're
up.
You're going to ruin this bus trip.
No, I'm not.
Such a downer.
I'm not. I'm
not going to talk to anybody. Not going to share anything with anybody.
We're at the point where we might have to vote if Hugh's even allowed
on
the bus.
Listen, I will talk, but this is going against everything that normally road trips are for me. It's good music.
We could listen to good
music. Periodically bus stop. But only time we would stop was to get gas. No pee breaks.
Well, we'll have
a toilet.
Yeah.
But then it's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to want to talk. And I'm going to be like, not all the time. I mean, I don't mind talking, but not like all the time.
Such a buzzkill.
I know. Come on, we got 18 hours.
So, we're going to be smack-talking this defense the whole time, talking about they're just a luxury.
So wait a minute. Mm-hmm. First of all, don't act like both of you guys get around people, and sometimes you don't want to talk sports all the time. Like, even in Thanksgiving, like, you know, when you get that obligatory, so, what about those Eagles?
Well, that's why you pour it.
We'll talk about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
There's plenty of stuff
We can talk about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You can bring some gummies.
We have to have someone on Bigfoot sighting duty the whole drive, by the way.
Something tells me this trip's going to have quite a few
especially
people that are always on Bigfoot sighting duty.
Especially when we go through Carolina.
Yes. It's going to be. Now, the path there is going to matter, right? If the Eagles are going to go to the Super Bowl and we're taking a bus to New Orleans, getting there is going to be the challenge. And the better path the Eagles have, obviously, the better chances they have. And that, you know, I'm talking about the number one seed, which I have been pretty consistent. I have thought and still think Detroit's got the inside track to this, but the Eagles are right there. I mean, and I no longer believe it's as, like 2 weeks ago, if you would have said, Joe, who's going to have the number one seed? I would have said the Detroit Lions. And you say to me today, who's going to have the number one seed? And I would say probably the Detroit Lions, though it's not as, I don't feel as strong about that because the Eagles just went on the road and won both games handily. And they don't have another game this season where they'll likely be an underdog. So let's play this thing out, Hugh. What needs to happen? How this goes? So right now, the Lions are 11-1. Mm-hmm. The Eagles are 10-2. So they either have to catch them, tie them, and win a tiebreaker, or obviously got to jump over them. Here are the remaining schedules for each team. As of right now, it is far more difficult for the Detroit Lions. Remaining schedule for the Lions. All right, Hugh, I'm going to give you the schedule. You tell me how many losses they have between now and the end of the season, okay?
Yeah, let me look at let me go on.
This Thursday night, home against Green Bay. Who wins? I think it's a very tricky game for Detroit.
Yeah. I'm going to say Green Bay.
Home against the Bills.
They take an L.
The Lions?
To the Bills. Home against the Bills?
I think they beat the Bills.
You think they beat the Bills at home?
Yep. They will be on an extra long week because they play
Thursday. And Chicago owes me one.
You think the Lions are going to lose three games in a row?
Yes. Chicago owes me that.
Hugh.
Chicago owes. No, listen.
Hugh, stop.
I gave y'all a banging parlay that almost hit last week. No, listen. Almost doesn't count in gambling.
You got floosed.
It doesn't. You got totally floosed.
Hey. But sometimes it's better to be confident than right. I almost hit that thing. Right. There was a lot of people damn it, man.
You think the Lions who have lost zero games this week two are about to drop three in a row?
Three.
Okay.
Three of them things.
After that, at 49ers.
They'll beat the 49ers.
Home against the Vikings.
They'll beat the Vikings.
So you think they're going to lose three more games to finish the season 13-4?
Yes.
Okay.
You got it's the way you say it though, Joe.
Because
this
team hasn't lost it's in 2 months. They lose three in a row.
They're leaking oil.
Are they?
Nah.
Okay.
The Chicago Bears has played pretty good until the 30s. I don't think
they look like this big unbeatable team.
Well,
that
not
they did
on Thursday,
for a while. Yeah. Well,
but like, the week before that, didn't they put up like 50 points?
Yeah.
Just saying it was one game.
Well, they look gettable.
I think they could lose the Packers this week.
Yeah.
All right, if I had to guess, they're gonna lose just one more game, this game to Green Bay. I think they're going to win the rest of the games. Bills at home, at Bears, at Niners, Vikings. I think there's one more loss on the Lions' schedule. They go 15-2.
Can I paint an ideal scenario for you?
I'd love to hear it.
The Lions lose to, this isn't everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
Lions lose to Green Bay and lose to Minnesota. However.
So that's three losses.
Three losses total in the season.
Yep.
The Eagles win out. The Lions beat the Bills and knock Josh Allen down a peg on the MVP.
Double whammy.
So the Eagles get. The one seed.
And the MVP.
Hey.
MVP.
Now y'all thinking outside the box.
Right. I like that.
That's what I do.
All right, so here's the scenarios we need to pay attention to. Obviously, the Eagles games are Panthers, Steelers, Commanders, Cowboys, Giants. Hugh, how many games the Eagles going to lose the rest of the season? Panthers, Steelers, at Commanders, home Giants, home Cowboys.
Went out.
So they're 15-2 and the Lions are 13-4.
Yes.
You have us getting the number one seed by two full games?
Yes.
I like your math on this. All right, here's an important...
I mean, because it's not... I'm looking at it, going down the stretch, you were worried about the Steelers and the way that they've been playing.
Well, I still think that's a challenge.
I just feel like, as long as, put it like this, one caveat. Everybody got to, that offensive line got to stay healthy. I think they move the crowd. Like, the teams that they're looking at, if we keep the formula, and they move the crowd the way they've been moving the crowd, yeah, I think we can win out.
So, I think it's pretty likely neither team is going to be an underdog again the rest of the season,
mm-hmm.
Detroit or the Eagles. So right now we're behind one game. Here's one thing specifically to note. The only way the Eagles would win a tiebreaker with the Lions if they're both 15-2. So that would mean the Eagles win out and Detroit loses just one more game. That loss has to be this week to the Packers. We really need the Packers this week, guys. Like if we have a chance at the one seed, we really need the Packers to win this game. Like there's a path to the Eagles getting it if the Lions do win this Thursday. But if the real path is the Packers got to beat the Lions on Thursday night, that's the best way in.
Well, okay, so like Eagles getting home field versus Green Bay, I totally prefer that. If you just told me like on a neutral field, I think I'd rather play the Lions than the Packers at this point.
Oh, I don't think so.
I do. The Lions are
better than the Packers.
Fine, record-wise, but we might not be saying that after Thursday if Green Bay beats them, right?
True,
like their offensive line's really good. I don't think their defense that good. Green Bay's got a pretty good defense, man. They can run the ball with Jacobs, and I would take Love at this point over Jared Goff.
Yeah, Love does throw picks, though.
Yeah, so does Goff.
Well, one game of them. He had one full game of like half his picks this season. All right, but keep an eye on it. So this Thursday night, Lions-Packers, if the Eagles are going to win a tiebreaker at 15-2, really need the Packers to win this game coming up on Thursday. Our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. We got some doozies for Twitter polls today. Has Zach Bond surpassed Hugh Douglas as the best 53 in Eagles history? 59% are still with you, Hugh.
Is that right? I'm surprised. I appreciate y'all.
I'm not really that surprised. Bond's done this for, 12 games.
A couple weeks.
Yeah, well, yeah, more than that, but you did it for years.
Bond probably thinks defense is a necessity, though.
No, he told us that. No, he told us something similar to that.
Yeah, we talked about this. I think he was disappointed in Hugh when that came up.
He won't be the first one. Get in line.
Was that the most impressive win of the Nick Sirianni era? 57% said yes. All right, let's go to the phones here. Hulk Hogan is up next on WIP. What's up, Hulk Hogan?
Hey, are you guys having a contest today to find out who the biggest dope is in the Delaware Valley?
Well, we do that every day, but yeah, yes.
Well, I mean, they're talking about Hurts is a fraud. He's a manager, all right, at Winning, Winning, and Winning Corporation. All right? When they asked him about the perception that he's a game manager, he said people have different terms. So what I think with Hurts right now is, yeah, he is managing the game, but what do you want him to do? He's not trying. They go down 9-0. He could have started trying to play hero ball.
Hero ball.
Got us into a big mess.
Didn't do that.
No, he stayed within himself, and he didn't turn the ball over, Hulk Hogan, which was the issue earlier in the season.
Yeah, so I don't see what the big deal is. Also, I'm freaking excited. Cooper DeJohn planted Derrick Henry in the dirt like that seed from the Nick Sirianni flower speech.
How many times you watched that highlight, Hoagie? Because for me, it's been like 15.
Oh, my God. I got it on. I made it into a GIF, and I just keep watching it.
You keep watching that, Hugh? That slam?
No, I don't want you to keep watching it.
You haven't watched it?
I like how it's evolved, though. Yeah. Like, he just ran him over.
Also,
he did. He picked him up.
Let's talk about Sultan of Swagger.
He slammed him to the ground. He dominated.
Made a tackle.
Oh, come on. That was an impressive tackle.
No, it was. No doubt.
It would have been. It would have
been even more impressive if Derrick Henry would have got the rolling and he would have did that.
But he stopped him before he got rolling.
Yeah, that was probably the
Cooper
best.
Cooper DeJean 1, Derrick Henry 0. That's my scoreboard.
I'm just saying.
My scoreboard.
Cooper DeJean is the slayer of kings.
That's right.
Exciter of whites, not a safety.
No, he's not a safety. Hulk Hogan, good phone call. I like that. I mean, I think Hugh was poo-pooing the Cooper DeJean tackle.
No, not at all.
You have such an agenda, dude.
No, I don't have an agenda.
But it's right through it.
It's funny how, like, it was a good tackle.
Great.
But it's funny how it's turned into how you know, you just planted him like he crushed him.
He did.
Okay.
Well, it's an iconic thing for a rookie to pick up Derrick Henry and slam him on the ground.
He's a white corner.
Really?
Yeah. What's that have to do with it?
Did you just you people your own people?
Yes.
What is he doing?
I can do that.
Now I'm uncomfortable.
I'm not the only one who thinks when Cooper plays really well, it's extra impressive.
He's
not supposed to be able to do this.
That's why it's funny, because it just feels like we put a little bit more season on it because it's him.
Yeah, because he's not.
It was a good tackle, though. I mean,
it was a really good tackle.
It wasn't like he put that bike on him and sprinted through him. Like, that would have been impressive.
Well, but he's also given up,
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That would have been impressive.
If I told you that he was going to meet Derrick Henry in the open field and not only let up no ground whatsoever, but pick him up and put him on his back, you'd be like, damn, that's impressive.
You got to watch it again.
Now, time out.
No.
Nope.
It's not like he met. He
it's
caught
time out,
him.
Not granted.
Okay. Listen, because you're making me sound like the bad guy. I'm going to just let it breathe. But it was a good tackle.
You just see through your agenda.
I mean,
I don't have an agenda.
Let's watch this again.
I have an agenda.
I mean, he caught him.
No, that was a good one. But as you can see, Derrick Henry was just trying to protect himself at that point. It wasn't like he was a full head of steam.
Wow, sounds to me like Derrick Henry's washed. Is that what Hugh Douglas is saying? Trying to protect himself against a rookie corner?
We're in on the Hulk Hogan thing, right? I mean, he's new. That's his second phone call.
No, I like Hulk Hogan a lot.
Well, I tell y'all, funny, man.
Did we ever come up with a good name for the defense?
I had a friend of mine. He brought a list. He brought a list of names.
Okay,
wait a minute.
I like the baby boomers. I mean, I haven't heard a better one than the baby boomers.
Let me get this list out. Okay, the list is the Broad Street Brawlers, the Philly Fortress.
Philly Fortress? Like you can't penetrate it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Liberty Wall. The Midnight Maulers.
See, a lot of these are Eagles specific, but not like I want something that makes me think of this specific group.
Like the Legion of Boom, know who I'm talking about.
Exactly. Like
Philly,
we know about Gangrene and all that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
They want you to be their own thing. Okay. But those are pretty. That was better than the other one. What was the other one we had? I forgot it already.
The Baby Boomers. They are the youngest defense in the league, and they bring the boom. You?
I like the way when you say it like that, the baby boomers.
Yeah, they bring the boom, and they're the youngest defense in the NFL. And it's got a kind of clever name, like people will remember that, baby boomers.
I'm open for more suggestions.
Are you
I'm
a
just
boomer,
saying.
By the way, Hugh, or are you generation gen?
I forgot. I used to know this. I'm not the baby boomer.
Okay.
I think I'm am I Gen Z? Am I Gen X? Which one am I?
I think Gen X.
I think I'm Gen X.
Then millennials are after Gen X?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I think I'm Gen X.
Yeah, I aged you like a decade there.
Yeah, I did. I used to know
this. Boomer.
Millennials are like...
Milliminals.
Interchangeable for like Gen Y, because X, Y, Z. So Z is after us.
Z is after us.
That's why we're supposedly Gen Y, but they just call us millennials.
Oh, I didn't realize that. They changed their name on us?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to figure out a good name.
I like that better, though.
We need to workshop these
just want to
names.
Be another gen insert here.
Millennials,
like, we have our own.
Yeah. More. All right, baby boomers are our best one we got so far, the baby boomers. I like the baby boomers.
You don't even think they're a necessity. You might not get a say.
Oh, I lost my vote just that quick. Gotcha.
I mean, I think there's some people are starting to chime in with some good ones here, and we might come up with a better one. But I think the leader in the clubhouse right now are the baby boomers. Let's talk.
Give it a day.
And anyone who's upset about that being the name, come up with a better one.
Give it a day. That's always my thing. You don't like the idea? What's yours? Trevor in New Jersey. What's up, Trevor?
Hey, Hugh, I just have a question. Are you going to dye your beard green or is it going to be gone after this season?
We're workshopping that as well.
What do you think he should do, Trevor?
I think he should dye his hair green and still shave the beard.
Oh, dye his hair green.
Well, you know, that would be a problem seeing as that I don't have hair. You know, so it has to be the beard.
Yeah, and I have a question. Do you guys think that Sirianni should get an extension after this season, or what do you think is going to happen?
I think we're trending towards him getting one.
Joe wanted to fire him like 2 weeks ago.
Well, that was not 2 weeks ago. That's a lie, Trevor. That was in September. And
like it's the first lie that's been told on the show today.
It is, yes. Trevor, I would wait till after the playoffs. I want to see them go on a playoff run before I extend them. But I do think I think this is going to end with him getting an extension after the season. I think we're headed there.
And don't you think that Nick Sirianni outcoached John Harbaugh yesterday, or is that just what I'm thinking? Because all those punts and stuff yesterday and John Harbaugh going for all those field goals and missing them?
He was trying to get his team going on.
Nick Sirianni outcoached a good coach.
His team was more prepared and played better. As far as outcoached,
they out-physical
yeah, I mean, he coached a better game. I'll meet you there. I mean, he coached a better game than Harbaugh, and his decisions worked, which Trevor, we preached the phone call. I didn't think Harbaugh did anything egregious, though. His kicker just missed kicks, right? What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, so much so that's the story this morning, whether or not he's done. Justin Tucker's done. I don't think Coach Harbaugh's gone there yet. You know, I will say this about that. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I think Justin Tucker is benefiting from the fact that Coach Harbaugh has a special teams background because he gave him a hug after the game.
He knows what. Yeah,
he knows the pressures of that. He probably understands that more than any other coach in the NFL because of that. So when he was in a press conference, and he said basically, I think that's a little bit premature. He still has his players back, man, and I commend him for that because that. To have a kicker that automatic who just looked like he just lost his mojo just that quickly and you still believe in the guy, I mean, shouts out to Coach Harbaugh for that, man. Because most coaches would have threw him under the bus.
Totally. If his name wasn't Justin Tucker and he didn't have the career he's had.
Oh, yeah, he'd probably be out of there.
He'd be cut today, right? If his name, like, just think of a random kicker. I don't know, Nick Folk or, you know. Cody Parkey, Al Del Greco, he's just named kickers now over the years. If he was one of those guys, he'd be out. They're not going to cut him because of the career he's had, and I guess they'll hope he's going to get better. He's terrible now.
It's just the way he's.
It's crazy. I mean, he's the best kicker I've ever seen. He stinks.
He's like, you're garbage. Yeah, he was pretty bad yesterday.
But after the game, he said, I don't think that would be wise to, like, get rid of him or whatever. Like, why not?
I guess they're afraid he
because
figures
he feels
it out.
Like he's going to work his way out of this.
Does it look like it to you? He's been terrible.
One of those he missed by a lot.
I'm glad he was off. So, because we'd probably be having a different we'd had a different game. Saying we wouldn't have had a different conversation,
year,
but a different game.
He what?
He's been off all year. I mean, he is a weak spot on the Ravens. Like, at a certain point, you say, like, it's not a fluke thing that he was missing left and right. He stinks this year.
He's probably going to cost them a playoff game. I mean, if I had to guess how this ends, he's going to miss a kick. They're going to lose by, I don't know, 3 points or 2 points or 1 point in a playoff game. That's it. Like, that game yesterday really was helped out by his misses. I mean, the Eagles are probably down in the third and fourth quarter instead of having a slight advantage and trying to hold on to it if he just makes kicks. I even thought the one where he missed the extra point, it made it, I don't know, maybe it was just me, it felt different. Like 9-0 versus 10-0.
I totally agree.
It was just a point, it felt different to me.
Because when it was 7-9, you're like, if we kick a field goal, we have the lead. And then we scored a touchdown anyway, but it just 9 looks so much better than 10.
I don't know why, it's 1 point, it just felt different. All right, let's talk to Adam in Newtown Square. What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
what's
Adam,
up,
what's going on?
Not much, I'm on the golf course, but what I want to know is, I'm watching Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean play unbelievable, and I've never seen rookies play that well so fast. And I'm wondering, is that a Vic Fangio thing? Who is coaching these guys that makes them look that good that quickly? How do they know what they're doing so well so early?
I would say because I would assume that the defense is he's made it simple for them to grasp with the calls and everything, and they've just probably gravitated towards it. Because I remember hearing when Coop was talking about when he was hurt, how he would get the information from Quinyon and they would study together. So maybe that's part of that too, because he never got a chance to get behind.
Well, That's a good point. I mean, as fans, we hear about Vic Fangio all the time, and it's very hard to comprehend what exactly, you know, what difference does a defensive coordinator make?
Well, I would tell you this.
All this praise. How do these guys, is that a difference that he's making?
Well, I'll tell you this. The thing that I remember about Jim Johnson's defense is how easy it was to pick up, like right out the gate. Like a lot of the calls were kind of similar. They had little nuances where they're a little different, you know, with the strength of the call and everything like that. But for the most part, it was a real simple defense to pick up. So okay. Maybe that's what it is. And wait a minute, did you say you were on a golf course? Did he say that? Did
yeah.
I hear that?
It's yeah. a little cold
it's like
for
35
golf.
Degrees, man.
Well,
oh,
yeah.
That's dedication.
Just played my three wood. Wasted about 300. Feels wow. great.
You playing today, Hugh?
You almost made me say something.
I mean,
it's not my game.
To be
man.
Fair to
why
Adam,
has Asai Reddick been on four other freaking football
Adam, good
team?
Phone call. To be fair to Adam, you are wearing shorts today. You scoffed
no,
at this like idea of this is too cold
no,
to do.
No,
you're
listen.
Wearing shorts.
No, it's one thing to wear shorts when I go from my truck to the building. It's a whole nother beast to be outside just willy nilly with no shorts on. Because the way I look at it is this:
I don't know.
I'm not gonna be outside that long.
I think it's more bizarre to wear shorts when it's 22 degrees than play golf today.
You know what's funny? And when I was, again, when I was walking through the building, people looked at me like they thought I was lost. It was like, why? Who key card did he steal? Why is he here?
Is that guy okay?
That's the vibe that I got. You know what I mean? But it's like, nah, you know, I know. I might, you know, shape my beard up a little bit, but people looked a little nervous. They look a little nervous.
Yeah,
when
we saw Spike in the little common meeting room, and he pointed out you got a little Uncle Eddie feeling today.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I mean, man, listen, this ain't my first rodeo. I mean, this is like the go to look for me around this time of year. I mean, it is. So it's not like I'm breaking new ground. I just got comfortable because you remember last year when I first got here, I tried to switch it up and I tried to be corporate a little bit. You know, I put the sweatsuits on and what. But then I was like, man, I've been here too long. I got to be me.
Time out.
What?
Yeah, sweatsuits are not corporate.
Well, in my world, that's corporate sweatsuit.
I got dressed up for everyone. I wore a sweatsuit to work.
But no, the shorts and the hoodie, that's like staples for around this time of year.
Yeah, it's a little chilly for that, but you
are. Yeah, this is a staple.
And where?
This is like the go-to outfit.
No, it's no.
You know what I'm saying? This is my go-to outfit.
Your go-to outfit?
Yeah, because it's
yes.
just, you
okay.
know, wake
I
up
just
in the morning,
clarify.
It's my go-to.
Just like how you said, you went corporate.
I went corporate. I tried to, you know, I tried to let everybody
I'm
get
kill
comfortable.
With this outfit.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, I used to set them out. Then I was like, you know what? I've been here. They know.
You
they
got,
know
you got too
with.
Comfortable. All right. 215-592-9049 for all your phone calls reacting to the win. We're also accepting nicknames for this Eagles defense. The Baby Boomers is our best one we've got so far. Plus, another eventful week in the NFL. We'll recap it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Make your first NBA bet a Swish with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel is all your favorite bets from who will win the game to how many points a player will score. Plus, check out newer bets like the number of dunks, assists, or three-pointers in the next 3 minutes. It doesn't matter if you tap into FanDuel before the game starts, or after already tipped off, you can pick up a W whenever. Now is the perfect time to get in on the action. Right now, new customers can bet $5. You get $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO for your chance to score $150 in bonus bets. Have a ball betting with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sports.